GM.com. Graf Chevrolet, they're making friends.
Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Scott, did you wind up watching any of the PGA Championship?
I watched the end and all of the playoff.
Okay, well then you know exactly what we are talking about here. Very happy to welcome in our friend Terry Kilday from Eagle Eye Hawk Hollow and a USGA rules official. Hello, Terry.
Good evening, Jack. How are you?
Well, I assume a lot of people have asked you questions today, and it wasn't your ruling, but was it a ruling that had to be made?
Yes, it falls under that heading. You've got to protect the field, and there's just no way around it.
Well, I heard a couple different interpretations of what happened, and I'll seek your clarification on this. Someone said there was a rules official traveling with that final pairing and that he could not volunteer information about a hazard but had to wait to be asked. Someone else I heard on ESPN this afternoon said, no, that's absolutely not the case. Jason Sobel said that the rules official could have mentioned that this was a hazard, but he was too busy with crowd control, pushing everyone back from this errant shot. What's the protocol here?
He definitely should have, under any circumstance, when you're walking with groups, and there were rules officials with most of the groups that day, you know, each time you'd hear somebody announce on the first tee, they'd say the name. He definitely should have said, you know, Dustin, please remember that's a bunker and it's not a waste bunker. I think he got tied up in the heat of the moment. His job is not crowd control. You know, you've been to the major tournaments. They have marshals tripping over top of marshals and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, no different than, you know, the ump that blew the perfect game call.
Right.
And stuff like, hey,
Jim
he just
Joyce.
Blew it. He needed to make that comment. You try to stop rules and infractions. You can't tell a player how he should play, but you can surely, you know, try to stop rules and infractions.
I thought it was very interesting that none of the commentators seemed to think that it was a hazard. In fact, when the tournament was over, one of them went back out on the course and was trying to find the lip of the trap. And who knows whether there wasn't one there with the kind of bunker it was or whether it had just been trampled down by hundreds or thousands of people who had walked it.
Well, you just need to go to the front of the rule book and the definitions. And it's not a hazard. It is a bunker.
Okay.
And a bunker is just any hollowed-out area that's filled with sand. It can have grass-covered areas growing within it and stuff. And
if it didn't look like it was hollowed out, Terry, if it looked like it was fairly flat and had been packed down, it was kind of a hard pan, certainly wasn't of bunker consistency. If you had been walking along there, even with your intimate knowledge of the rules, would you have immediately said, hey, that's a bunker?
Well, for two reasons, yes. And it doesn't have anything to do with my knowledge or anything, but the sheet that every player and every caddy was handed before the week began is they were told that there were no waste bunkers on the golf course.
Okay.
Waste bunkers, you can ground your club, you can take practice swings, anything. It was the number one highlighted thing on the local rule sheet.
Okay.
And, you know, they just, the heat of the moment, he blanked on it. But, no, any sandy area that was filled, you know, they had made such a big issue of it because, you know, it's sad that the issue happened right on national TV on the last hole, but it went on all week, you know, where players had to be cognizant of it. It just as important on your first hole on Thursday as it is your last hole on Sunday, and it just, the spotlight was hitting this one.
I wonder how many players took the time or their caddies read that sheet and would have reacted differently. Do you think that most players then would not have done what Dustin Johnson did?
Well, I heard where they interviewed a lot of players that were watching on TV in the locker room, players and their caddies, you know, they're interested spectators just like we are. And they were shocked because, yes, they did know it, you know, and Dustin knew it, you know, it got away from him. You know, you and I talked the last time that the player in the playoff hit the loose impediment in a water hazard. It just, those things happen, you know, and it's a shame, you know, this is his second tragedy this summer, but, you know, you can't really tap dance around it.
All right. What's the lesson here to be learned for the weekend player or maybe the people who are coming out to play at Eagle Eye or Hawk Hollow this week?
Well, I don't know if there's a specific lesson there because, you know, people kind of play their own thing, and golf is meant to have fun when you and I are just out there.
Right.
But the lesson to be learned is any type of tournament you enter – whether it be a country club invitational, the All-City, mm-hmm. you know, we'll have a fall best ball out here, mm-hmm. read the local rule sheet. Because those things that are peculiar to a course, whether it be overhead wires, you know, that a ball might strike or anything, or how a road is treated in the middle of the course, or for sure how every one of 1,200 bunkers is to be treated, it's important. And you know, I see it time after time on the first tee. The hole location sheet is usually on one side, and the locals are on the other, and they're not given one glance.
You know, I don't normally get in the business of rooting against people to make putts, but now that it's all said and done, I'm really glad Dustin Johnson did not make that putt on 18.
Well, wouldn't that have been? It would have even been more tragic. Yeah, it was. Just a no-win situation, you know. It gives the PGA of America ended up with a little black eye on it after running a great event. And surely, you know, people that think there's way too many rules, they've got more fuel for the fire now and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there are too many rules?
I guess I'd say yes is the quick answer.
Mm-hmm. As you look at the tournament as a whole, Terry, of course, you had Martin Hamer come out and win this, and now we've had a number of international winners, major tournaments. But the way that Bubba Watson played, plays with such panache, and even with the shot he hit that wound up in the water, I mean, a lot of players might not have hit that shot, but he said he'd go back and hit the same shot.
Yeah, I guess, you know, would he 10 years from now, you know, versus laying up and live to fight one more hole? I don't know. You know, surely if he looked over at the other guy's lie, it was no better, and there was very little chance he was going to go for the green either.
Right.
So, like I said, you know, Nicklaus never lost majors. If the other guy won it, fine, but he didn't throw him away, and I think that one got thrown away a little bit.
Right, right. And a lot of people will not remember the winner, as they'll remember the guys who didn't win and some of the strange circumstances there. I have to ask you one more question about Tiger Woods and where he is right now. Looks like he still has a good chance, unless something's been announced in the last couple minutes that I haven't heard of, from Corey Pavin to make the Ryder Cup team. Is that a no-brainer pick as the number one player in the world? And where do you think his game is right now? Will we see the old Tiger Woods next year?
I guess the scenario that I'd love to see is that Pavin would offer it to him and he would decline this time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's just me. That's not based on anything except that I don't think he's going to help the team.
Because
he's not the number one player in the world right now, Jack. The only reason he is because of points. But
right.
You know, it's questionable right now if he's in the top 25.
Well, Bubba Watson was talking about, and this was moments after the tournament ended, about the most important thing was making the Ryder Cup team. So I guess that's the kind of spirit that you want representing the United States in this kind of competition.
Sure. And I think Tigers went on record in years past, especially in, until they get some of that money given to their personal charities, is that, you know, it wasn't all that important to him. And
right.
They put on a pretty good show down in Kentucky 2 years ago without him. And I think at that time, you know, going into it before he was injured, he was playing much better.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how he plays next year at Augusta, and that's the next time that he will care quite as much as he chases Jack Nicklaus for the record of 18 majors. Terry, thanks so much for coming on with us. As always, I appreciate it. We'll see you soon out at Eagle Eye.
All right, Jack. Come out and play. Thanks for the call.
All right. And there's some great specials on out there with their Labor Day rates, too. You should check those out. We will be right back with more Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.
Here's your updated Lansing area forecast for more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.